You can be seated. Good morning. It's good to see everybody here this morning. Also, want to welcome those of you who are joining us online, worshiping with us today. And let me just stop right here and say this. If you're worshiping with us online, we would love to know where you are worshiping from. And so if there's any way possible, we'd love for you to let us know where you're worshiping from and how many you're worshiping with. And I know that that would be really encouraging to our church family here. But we are so glad to have everyone come together today for really what is, and I don't know if you guys have thought about this, for what is the last Sunday of 2021. Isn't that crazy? I mean, it just blows me away that we're getting ready to go into another new year. Now, how many of you would say that you're a little nervous? Okay, you got some, like, yeah, right here. For really the last 2 years, things have really been hard. And not just for some, but I think on everyone. And that's not just in our country, but throughout the world. And so now as we get ready to approach the new year, man, we kind of sit back and we begin to wonder, okay, what lies ahead? You know, what's out there that we can't see? What could happen this year? You know, is it going to be something positive, or is it going to be something that's going to set me back? Is it going to be something that's absolutely devastating? And so what I want to do this morning is I want to share with you a story from the Bible. Now, this particular Bible story may not be one that you've heard before. In fact, the character in this Bible story is really not what we would consider to be a main character. Now, his father was a main character, his best friend was a main character, but the guy we're going to be studying this morning is not really a main character because we read very little about him in Scripture. Now, some of you are probably already scratching your head. You're like, okay, what's this story about? And so go ahead and be turning with me this morning to 1 Samuel chapter 14. This is where our study's going to come from. While you're looking there, I want to kind of set up the context by just giving you a little bit of information before we begin to read. There's a great battle that is brewing between the Israelites, God's people, and the Philistines. How many of you have ever heard of the Philistines? Okay, most of you have, because really, the Philistines were like the thorn in the flesh for the people of God. They were God's enemy. And so there's this big battle brewing between these two armies. But before anything happens, there are two men that we're going to talk about this morning that have the same opportunities. But what we're going to see is that both of them make two totally different choices. Now, the first man that I'm referring to is probably one that you've heard about. He is a main character in the Bible, and that's King Saul, right? How many of you have heard of King Saul? Okay, probably most of you have. He was the very first king in the Bible, and so, or at least the very first king of Israel. And so most of us have heard about King Saul. King Saul, he had all the political, all the spiritual, all the military resources that had been given to him by the Lord. But here's the deal. Instead of acting in faith, instead of going up against the Philistines in faith, trusting that God was going to see them through, he sinks back in fear. And the Bible says that he actually goes and he sits underneath a pomegranate tree. And this is what a lot of people refer to oftentimes as the pomegranate dilemma in life. In other words, will we step out in faith and trust God's provisions, or will we shrink back in fear like Saul? That's the first man we're going to be talking about this morning. The second is his son, whose name is Jonathan. And really, Jonathan's our main character, but Jonathan is really a lesser known character. Now, here's the deal about Jonathan. Even though Jonathan is young, even though Jonathan is not the king, let me tell you something. He is absolutely ready for the Philistine challenge. As being a part of Saul's army, I mean, he's ready to go out and take down the Philistines. And so again, we have two men in our story, both with essentially the same opportunity to move forward by faith, but what we're going to see is that one misses it, and the other walks right through it. And so look at verse 2 of 1 Samuel chapter 14 this morning. This is where we're going to begin, and we're just going to kind of skim through this. I'm not going to read all of it. I'm just going to hit the high points. Notice in verse 2, it says that Saul was staying on the outskirts of Gibeah under a pomegranate tree. There he is. There's Saul, the king, who's shrinking back under a pomegranate tree in fear. And notice what it says, with him are about 600 men. Now, if you skip down, Jonathan has now left his father. He's left the other soldiers, and he has gone off on his own, and no one's noticed it, not even his father, King Saul. And notice what it goes on to say. On the side of the path that Jonathan intended to cross to reach the Philistine outpost was a cliff. And so notice where Jonathan has gone. He's gone. He's left his father. He's left the other soldiers, and he has gone to take on the Philistine army by himself. Now, as you continue to read, notice what it says. Jonathan said to his armor bearer, he says, come. He says, let's go over to the outpost of those uncircumcised fellows, talking about the Philistines. Perhaps the Lord will act on our behalf. Nothing can hinder the Lord from saving, whether by many or by few. Now let's stop right there, because here's the first thing that I want you to notice. Jonathan realized that not everything is guaranteed when you decide to step ahead in faith. Right? Some of you understand that. And we'll talk more about this as we talk more about faith. But notice what Jonathan says. Perhaps, you may even want to underline that in your Bible. Perhaps the Lord will act on our behalf. Listen, if there is one thing that you can learn about people who move forward in faith, it's this. They know that they don't always know. Are you with me? In other words, there's a lot of things that they don't know about what lies ahead. It's like 2022. We don't know what lies ahead. We don't know what challenges we may face. We don't know what enemy we'll have to face in the future. But we move forward, knowing and trusting that God knows, and that God is in control. And perhaps God will do something amazing in 2022 that we weren't even expecting. Let me tell you something about great men and women of faith. They are not paralyzed by uncertainty. They're energized by it. Again, I asked you at the very beginning, how are you feeling about 2022? And some of you, you admitted, man, I'm a little nervous. I'm a little fearful. And that may cause us to kind of shrink back in fear. Maybe we're tempted to be like Saul. in that we're afraid to move, we're afraid to act, we're afraid maybe to do what God asks us to do because we don't want to have to deal with what might happen or what circumstances might come. Or maybe it's the pain of change. But notice, that didn't stop Jonathan. He moves forward by faith. He's energized even in the face of uncertainty. Erwin McManus, and I love this, in his book, Seizing Your Divine Moments, writes, "A lot of us have bought into the idea that Christianity is knowing about the outcome. There are cliches like when God closes a door, He opens a window." McManus goes on to write, "Has it ever occurred to you that sometimes the door is closed, there is no window, and God just wants you to go headfirst through the wall in faith?" I love that. You see, I think oftentimes we buy into the idea that it can't be God's will unless it's easy. It can't be God's will unless it's safe and unless it keeps us comfortable. But the truth is, the safest place in the world may not be inside the will of God. I mean, just look at Paul, right? I mean, you look at 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 26 through 27. He says, "I've been in danger from rivers, in danger from bandits, in danger from my own countrymen, in danger from Gentiles, in danger in the city, in danger in the country, in danger at sea, and in danger from false brothers. I have labored and toiled and have not gone and have often gone without sleep. I have known hunger and thirst and have gone without food. I have been cold and naked." Notice all the things that Paul went through. And so either Paul was outside the will of God or we've missed it. You see, oftentimes walking in faith, living for Christ, can be dangerous. It can be challenging. At times it can be really, really tough. And some of you have learned that. But again, we have two people. One sat under a tree at the face of challenge and fear. And then you have another who moves ahead in faith. Now, I told you we were going to come back to this. What exactly does it mean to walk in faith? Well, if you look at Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1, the Hebrew writer tells us, he says, "Faith is a confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what, church?" Say it out loud. "About what we do not see." There are some things, guess what, we can't see. There are some things that we can't know. There are a lot of things that Jonathan didn't know as he moved forward in faith. But here's what he did know. And I want you to remember this as we go into 2022. Jonathan knew God. And he knew that God had the ability and the power to save. And he believed that very strongly. It didn't matter if it was 1 against 1,000or 2 against 1,000. Jonathan knew that God was going to accomplish His will. And the question is, where did Jonathan get that kind of faith? Well, because he knew the history of God. Right? Let me give you a little bit of Bible trivia this morning, and this would have been some trivia that Jonathan would have definitely been able to answer himself. But if I were to ask you this morning, who was it who slew 1,000 Philistines with the jawbone of a donkey, what would you say? Who is it? Samson, that's right. Think about that. 1,000 Philistines with just the jawbone of a donkey. If I were to ask you who it was that took on a whole Midian army that was as numerous as the sand on the seashore with just 300 men and some torches and jars and some horns, who would you say? Gideon. And those men were able to do that through the power of God. And here is Jonathan. He knows God's history. And so Jonathan is thinking to himself, if God could do that then, he can certainly do that now. Right? Because our God is still alive. And our God is still working today. And every Sunday as we come together, one of the great things about partaking of the Lord's Supper is we are reminded of God's history. Are we not? Of His faithfulness, of His love for you and me. How nothing can keep God from accomplishing His will. Not even death itself could stop God Almighty. He sent His Son, who died on a cross, so that you and I could be free of our sins. And we just remembered that, right? We just remembered the history of our God. And Jonathan knew God's history. And so he left his father, he left his fellow soldiers, and he went out to take on the Philistine army. Because here's what Jonathan knew: with God, the odds are relevant. Right? It doesn't matter, Jonathan says, if there is many or few, God will accomplish His will, and we can take hope in that ourselves. Now, I think there's a principle here that we need to stop and think about before we go any further, and that's this: vision precedes provision. If you're taking notes, make sure you write that down this morning. Vision precedes provision. Listen, we've got to have vision as we go into 2022. And in other words, as we go into this new year, what I would challenge us all to think about is, in this new year, what is my family going to look like? What is my spiritual life going to look like? What is the church going to look like? What is my job going to look like? What are my kids going to look like? I would challenge us all to think with a vision of what we want the future to look like. And that's including our world. We've got to have vision. And then we've got to step ahead in faith, trusting and praying that God will provide. And some of you in this room have witnessed that over and over again. They witnessed it back in the Old Testament. I think about Joshua chapter 3, and this is another really cool story that you may not be real familiar with. The children of Israel are getting ready to enter in to the promised land, this land that God had promised them, the land of Canaan. But before they did, there was a challenge before them. It was the Jordan River, and it was at flood stage. But God tells him, I want you to march across into the promised land. And I want the priests to line up first. I want them to carry the Ark of God, or the Ark of the Covenant, before the people. And then behind the priests and the Ark of God was more than 2 million people. And so here they are. They're walking towards the Jordan River. And it wasn't until the priests stepped into the river, Joshua chapter 3, verse 15, that the river actually divided for them to cross, for them to go across on dry land. Think about that for a moment. Here's these priests, 2 million people behind them. They're 10 feet out from this raging river. And then they get 5 feet out. And still, nothing's happened. And then they get to the very edge of the river and nothing happens. It wasn't until they walked by faith into the water as God had told them to do in faith that the water finally divides. And they're able to walk across on dry ground. And that's what Jonathan does. He walks by faith, trusting in God. And what we're going to see as we finish up this text is that God is going to bring about great victory, but He's going to do something else. Look at verse 6. It says, Jonathan said to his young armor bearer, "Come, let's go over to the post, to the outpost of those uncircumcised fellows. Perhaps the Lord will act on our behalf. Nothing can hinder the Lord from saving, whether by many or by few." Listen to what the armor bearer says. "Do all that you have in mind," his armor bearer said. "Go ahead. I am with you heart and soul." Now, when I read this particular part of the text, I understand that there is a level of loyalty here that is absolutely unbelievable. Jonathan says, "Let's go and let's take on the Philistines." This is not a command, but rather this is Jonathan asking his armor bearer, "Will you go with me?" And his armor bearer says, "Absolutely." He says, "I am with you heart and soul." Now, from looking at the text, I really believe that there were some objections that the armor bearer could have brought up, right? I mean, I believe that the armor bearer could have said to Jonathan, "Jonathan, listen, what is your father going to think? I mean, he's the king. He's the one who's supposed to be leading the way." And Jonathan, this is absolutely insane. You want me, just you and me, to go against this huge Philistine army without Saul and these 600 other soldiers. But he doesn't. He says, "I'm with you heart and soul." He was willing to go with Jonathan even to the point of death. And I think one of the reasons why he was willing to do that was because Jonathan was a man of faith. And he was a man of influence. If you don't get anything else, I hope you get this morning. If you will walk with God, oftentimes others will get on board with you. That's one of those things that some of you have probably seen firsthand. Erwin McManus writes, "This is the essence of influence, to win the heart and soul of another person through the strength of your own character and personhood. This is why influence is always more powerful than authority. Authority can determine what a person does, but influence shapes what a person becomes. Influence is born out of trust and finds its strength in the connection of heart and soul." And so again, here's Jonathan, and he says, "Go with me." And it's not a command, it's not an obligation, but it's something that was done, I believe, through the relationship of Jonathan and his armor bearer. They spent time together. They probably even prayed together. And so he says, "I'm with you heart and soul," which really challenged me this week to ask, what kind of influence am I having on others? And I would challenge you to think about that yourselves as we go into the new year. Are you someone who has been willing to step out on faith? Are you someone who is trusted in God, living for God, serving God? Or would you describe yourself more like Saul, Jonathan's father? Well, let's get to Jonathan's plan because we're almost out of time. Verses 8 through 12, Jonathan said to his armor bearer, he says, "Come then, we'll cross over towards the men and let them see us. If they say to us, 'Wait there until we come to you,' we will stay where we are and not go up to them. But if they say, 'Come up to us,' we will climb up, because that will be our sign that the Lord has given them into our hands." So both of them showed themselves to the Philistine outpost. Look, said the Philistines, "The Hebrews are crawling out of the holes that they were hiding in." The men of the outpost shouted to Jonathan and his armor bearer, "Come up to us and we will teach you a lesson." Now, I don't know about you, but this doesn't sound like real good military strategy to me. Right? I mean, sneaking up from behind, right? I mean, that sounds like good military strategy. Let's practice the art of surprise here. No, Jonathan says, "Okay, here's my plan. We're going to step out and we're going to expose ourselves before the enemy and say, 'Hey, here we are.' And if they say to us, 'Hey, come up to us,' he says, we'll know that God has handed them over to us." Listen, there's a whole host of these guys up there. But this is Jonathan's plan. Right? And to really add to that, the text tells us that they're gonna have to climb. In other words, the Philistines, they have the high ground. And we all know from a military strategy standpoint, whoever has the high ground has the advantage, right? And so the odds are against them. But here's the deal with Jonathan. Jonathan had an advance mentality. In his mind, you go ahead with God and you don't look back. And the question is, where did he get that mindset? And I think that there are a lot of other scriptures like this, but look at Leviticus chapter 26, 6 through 8. Here the children of Israel are getting ready to go into the promised land. And this is what God says to them: "I will grant peace in the land, and you will lie down, and no one will make you afraid. I will remove savage beasts from the land, and the sword will not pass through your country. You will pursue your enemies, and they will fall by the sword before you. 5 of you will chase 100, and 100 of you will chase 10,000, and your enemies will fall by the sword before you." Listen, I really believe when Jonathan saw the enemies of God, he saw victory as a promise waiting to be received from God. In fact, let's look at what happens. I'm going to read this. I'm not going to put it up on the screen. I just want you to listen as I read the rest of the story. As Jonathan puts his faith and his trust in God. Verse 13. Jonathan climbed up using his hand and feet, with his armor bearer right behind him. The Philistines fell before Jonathan, and his armor bearer followed and killed behind him. In that first attack, Jonathan and his armor bearer killed some 20 men in the area of about a half an acre. Then panic struck the whole army, those in the camp and the field, and those in the outposts and raiding parties, and the ground shook. It was a panic sent by God. Saul's lookouts at Gibeah and Benjamin saw the army melting away in all directions. Then Saul said to the men who were with him, "Muster the forces and see who has left us." When they did, it was Jonathan and his armor bearer. And I'm going to skip down just a little bit. But listen to what it says. Then Saul and all the people who were with him assembled, and they went to battle. And indeed, every man's sword was against his neighbor, and there was great confusion. Now don't miss this. Because Jonathan acted in faith, he had a huge influence on others. He had an influence on his armor bearer. He had an influence on his father. He had an influence on the whole nation. Why? Because one simple act of faith. And it created a context for greatness that brought out the best in everyone around him. In fact, as I close out, let me just share with you what Jonathan's faith did. Four things, real quickly. First of all, it unleashed the faithful. I mentioned his armor bearer, and someone said this about his armor bearer, that an honest assessment of this nameless companion was that he really had very little to contribute to the cause. Right, this is not a skilled warrior. This is not even one of the men really in his military. It's someone that carries his sword and carries his shield. It's his armor bearer. He's probably a young guy, and he's probably very inexperienced, right? But when Jonathan influenced him to do something great, he walked in as an armor bearer, but he walked out as a warrior. Listen, when we choose to act in faith, we create an environment where others who formerly never saw their place or their importance are now unleashed to fulfill their God-given potential. Something else Jonathan's faith did was it ignited the apathetic. Look back. Notice what happens to apathetic Saul, who'd been sitting under that tree, shrinking back in fear. It says in verse 20, then Saul and all the people who were with him assembled, and they watched, church, and they went to battle. Notice, because of Jonathan and his faith, notice now his dad, who was apathetic, gets on board with him, and he also joins the fight. But then also his faith help reclaim the rebellious. This is kind of interesting. Verse 21, it says, moreover, the Hebrews who were with the Philistines before that time, who went up with them into the camp from the surrounding country, they also joined the Israelites who were with Saul and Jonathan. Notice, there were some Hebrews. There were some of God's own people who maybe because of fear or something else, they went over and they joined the Philistines. They joined the enemy. But now as they see Jonathan's faith, guess what they do? They come back over to God's people. Listen, the great thing about people who move in faith, churches that move in faith, is oftentimes we're able to restore those who have fallen away. And really, that needs to be our mentality. James talks about this in James chapter 5, verses 19 through 20. My dear brothers and sisters, if any of you wanders away from the truth and is brought back, you can be sure that whoever brings the sinner back from wandering will save that person from death and will bring about the forgiveness of sins. But oftentimes that happens, that takes place when we are faithful, when we're the church, when we're the people that God has called us to be. But then also, Jonathan's faith helped heal the brokenhearted. Verses 22 through 23, and we're done. Notice what it says, likewise, all the men of Israel who had hidden in the mountains of Ephraim, when they heard that the Philistines had fled, they also followed hard after them in battle. So the Lord saved Israel that day, and the battle shifted to Beth Aven. You see, there was a whole colony of Israelites who were hiding in the hills. And really, I think they illustrate for us the people around us who are emotionally dissatisfied, who are emotionally broken, who are discouraged, and who are hurting. And it's our obligation as Christians to create an environment of faith and love so that they can be one to the Lord and so that they can be healed. Went a little over time this morning. But as 2021 passes away and as 2022 starts to arise, I think we all have to ask ourselves the question, will we shrink back in fear? Or will we take an advance mentality? Will we move forward in faith? Will we take advantage of the opportunities before us? Or will we let those opportunities slip away? God's going to present some huge opportunities for us in 2022. I already see it. It's coming down the road. It's there for our families. It's there for our friends. It's there for the church and for the world. But the question is, will we be the one who steps out in faith and says, God, we're with you wholeheartedly. This year, we're going to serve you. We're going to live for you. This year, we want to make a difference for you. I want to go ahead and extend the invitation this morning. There may be someone here today who has never given their life to Jesus. You've never put on Christ in baptism. And I want to encourage you to do that. Put your trust and your faith in Him. That through the power of His blood, the sacrifice that He made on the cross, your sins, my sins, are completely forgiven and can be completely washed away. And so I want to encourage you this year, if there's someone here who needs to begin the new year with their walk with God, I want to encourage you to do that. Or if there's someone here today who is a Christian, and maybe there's something that we need to pray for you about, maybe it's for you to come back on to God's side, to stop living in fear and to start living for Him, to start making a difference for Him again. Whatever the case may be, if you have a need, won't you come today as we stand and sing this song?